My name is D. Ronald Neifert. Everybody that knows me well calls me Ron. Those that disagree with what I teach call me other things. I'm from the Mississippi section of Texas, and I'm vice president of Family First Radio Network. We have 11 stations across the United States. We also have a presence on your smartphone, whether you knew it or not, also on the internet. We're all talk radio, and we only preach the fundamental Seventh-day Adventist Three Angels message. They are getting so well-trained, aren't they, without even prompting. I want to thank Pastor Davidson so much for the invitation to be with you. What a blessing to be able to spend some time on this idyllic campus. I started out my career in broadcasting in the 1970s and then went into mechanical engineering, went into first high tech in the Silicon Valley and then aerospace. And the Lord brought me back to full-time ministry after that. The Holy Spirit in His wisdom gave me the gift of teaching in 1974, and I've been teaching in one regard or another ever since. And any of you who have been active in ministry knows that there's someone lurking about who doesn't enjoy that calling. And so I've faced death 19 times. The first time when I was 18 months old and was stomped and choked and miraculously saved from that. Any of you who need some assistance with state of the dead or immortality of the soul teaching, come to me because I've actually been dead. 7 years ago, I went into the hospital for a stent in my heart, and the surgeon, we've never been able to get clarity on this, but sneezed, coughed, fell asleep, tripped, did something, and put that stent through my artery. And then through the wall of my aorta. And he tried to recover me for 12 minutes and was ready to pronounce me. The next thing I'm going to mention, I recommend to any of you that are ever faced surgery. Before we got started, I asked all the nurses that get there first because God, as He is known in the hospital circles, had not shown up yet. And I asked if any of them were Christians, and two of them said they were. I asked to pray together. We did. And as the surgeon got ready to pronounce me dead, one of the nurses said, "You know, there's a world-class surgeon from Europe scrubbing up next door. Shall we take him over there and see what he can do?" So they rushed me over there, and the surgeon split me open like a frog in biology class, ripped open my leg and dragged a artery out of there to use to repair, and spent the next 8 hours fixing what the first surgeon destroyed. By the time he got me breathing and my heart going again, it had been 22 minutes. Just so you know, there's no white light. And there's no tunnel. I can tell you for certainty, the dead know nothing. Because when I woke up in ICU and I had 14 tubes poking out of every orifice and some that I hadn't previously owned, I was completely mystified. The last of the 19 was 8 months ago when I had a massive stroke. The kind of stroke that kills many people, the kind of stroke that my mother had, and she was completely paralyzed for the last 8 years of her life and was unable to speak, which is a decided drawback to someone that's a teacher. God in His wisdom and mercy recovered me in in 2 weeks. You would, if I had time, which apparently I do now, I would tell you, the doctor and the physical therapist ganged up on me to put me through something similar to what Olympic athletes have to do to prove to them that I was suitable to leave the hospital. I had to do all kinds of, I think several of them were yoga moves. I had to walk downstairs backwards. I had to do the hokey pokey at one point. And they finally said, I don't understand it, but I guess you're healed. And I went, ooh, I understand it. I'd be happy to explain it to me. And the doctor said, I'm a scientist, and I know what you're going to say. And I said, apparently you don't know, or else you'd understand why I'm able to walk out of the hospital. For His glory and honor. So there's still some residual effects. I still have a thorn in my flesh like Paul did. But if it was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. And I praise God from whom all blessings flow. I just passed out a little tract that was written about 3.5 years ago, and in that time has become one of the most successful tracts in the history of Christianity and the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It was written by a pastor in Oregon. And until that time, until about 4 years ago, even though he was a Seventh-day Adventist pastor, his main passion was sports. And he had all the scores memorized at all times, spent hours a day watching the game and keeping track of who was doing what in the sports world. At one point, the Holy Spirit came to him and said, this is what you're doing. This is what you should be doing. And he dropped sports like that. And he dropped sports like that. I'm not in a hurry. I got to be here till Wednesday. 6 months later, he wrote this tract. As best as we can tell, something over 35 million have been distributed. It's been translated into 40 languages, some of which you've never heard of, and has gone all around the world. And it has been moved so rapidly by the Holy Spirit, because this is the foundation. This is what I came to talk to you about now during divine worship time. This is the basis. This is the fundamentals. This is the foundation. Unfortunately, many in the Christian community have built their house on sand. They are seeing during the shaking time that's going on presently that sand is not a good foundation. But this morning, we're going to be talking about building on the foundation of rock on the cornerstone that was rejected. And so our scripture for today, which my new friend Tom brilliantly had you all to read together, started out with this foundation. For God so loved. I really could sit down now, and if you would ponder that, that'd be the whole sermon. For God so loved. Some of us have forgotten the very definition of Christian that we call ourselves. But the definition of Christian is Christ-like. And if we are not Christ-like, if we are not well on that road, if we're not converted and we call ourselves Christian, well, we read it right in the scripture, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. We are liars and do not tell the truth. I will tell you, if you're interested, and even if you're not, act like you are, the seminar that I've given last night for Sabbath school and now for church, I've never ever given before. I've given a seminar on this topic, but I've never given it this way and shared the things I've shared with you. And the reason is, the Holy Spirit knows what you need. I so appreciated Kevin's special music. We don't hear special music on the ukulele too often. A week and a half ago, I got an invitation to go to the South Pacific Division next year. There, the ukulele is much more common. And so I appreciate the special music. It's much less common to see people in the South Pacific Division show up with a ukulele and a music sheet. But they play it with all their heart, and they pray it to the Lord. But I need to take exception with your special music choice. You selected He Leadeth Me. And that is untrue unless we choose to follow. So I'd like you to take a minute just now and pray for yourselves. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Exercise your free will choice that Jesus died on the cross to preserve. And make a decision, although Jesus is willing to lead, have you chosen to follow? And that will be our sermon for today. God is love. Shall we pray? We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. I'm going to ask a serious question, and because this is divine worship, I'm not going to ask you to respond out loud, but please respond in your heart. So, we start out with the topic of love. And we've determined so far that God is love. And if you turn to Romans 5:8, I'm going to give these scriptures quickly, and those that are not able to find them quickly, you can simply read them later, make a note, or listen carefully. Romans 5 and verse 8. And my dear sister, who is an A student, I know will be copying all these down if you need her later. But God demonstrated His own love to us. Watch this now. In that while we were... Do we have any English students or professors here? Is "were" past tense, present tense, or future tense? Satan has made a protracted effort in the Christian community the last number of years to deny this verse. We will all be sinners till Jesus comes. Our opening hymn today denied that false testimony, as does this verse. And while we were still sinners, are you getting the impact of that? Christ died for us. What manner of love is that? The Bible says it this way. It uses the word enmity. We don't use that word very often anymore, but that word means hatred. While we were in hatred towards Jesus, even in that condition, even when we were sinners, His love, because He can't help Himself, led Him to die for us. Wow. Once again, I could stop now, and that's a whole sermon. So, we determine that God is love. under any circumstances. How many are planning for Jesus to come back for them? Have you read who He's actually coming back for? Look up in Revelation 14. Revelation 14, 4. It's critically important that we understand who exactly He is coming back for. It's nice to say, as I found out in the airport recently, it's nice to say, I'm going to Europe on vacation. It's entirely another matter to actually have a ticket that'll take you on the airplane to Europe. Do you have a ticket for heaven? You got to know who Jesus says He's coming back for. Here is the patience of the saints. Are you a saint? Please answer within your own heart. So He's coming back for the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. It saddens my heart to see how this concept is more alive, more well understood in the world than it is in the Christian community. What's the definition of sin? Have you read it in 1 John? Somebody was chomping at the bit. What's the definition of sin? So transgressing the law is sin. Keeping the law would be the opposite of sin, wouldn't it? So Jesus is coming back for those who keep the commandments. Isn't that what we just read? So I showed up in court the other day, and the judge asked me, guilty or not guilty of bank robbery? And I said, not guilty, Your Honor. He said, but we have you on videotape. Our officer that arrested you happened to be in the bank making a deposit at the time. Are you sure you don't want to change your plea? Absolutely sure, Your Honor. How can you stand in front of this court with all this clear evidence and claim that you are innocent? Would you like me to explain, Your Honor? Please do. Well, I'm innocent, Your Honor, because I only rob banks one day a year. 364 days of the year, I absolutely keep the law about not robbing banks. I only break that law one day a year. Are you saying you're perfect, Your Honor? I think not. So how can you find me guilty when I only rob banks one day a year and all the rest of the time am a law-abiding citizen? I dare you to find me guilty. Guilty as charged, take him away. Not what he would say. But how many Christian communities would say, well, that's reasonable. We understand. God is love. He'll overlook that. Who is Jesus coming back for? Those that keep the commandments of God. And you want to hear the hypocrisy of all that? How many people do we bring in during evangelistic series and say, we'd like to invite you into our family. We'd like you to be a part of us. We love you. And we'd be willing to baptize you as soon as you give up smoking. Is there anybody who has ever given up smoking and never, ever once in 5, 10, 15, 20 years ever smoked another cigarette again? Is there anybody who has given up alcohol and never, ever once slipped into alcohol, fell into alcohol, tripped into alcohol, made a mistake with alcohol in 5, 10, 15, 20 years? Anybody given up drugs? Is there anybody here who got married and never, ever once had an affair? Let's have all our eyes straight forward. What I talked about in Sabbath school today, and what I talked about just now, is not about you giving up tobacco, alcohol, drugs, or promiscuity. Don't make that mistake. Don't fall into that trap. What I've been talking about is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you memorized Jude 24? Unto him who is able to keep you from falling ever once. So that brings us to this point. Is your God able? We talked about a lot of false Christs and false prophets and false gods and false teachings in Sabbath school. But is the God that you worship able? But I'm only human. Yeah, so is Jesus. But that misses the point. Is your God able? So who's Jesus coming back for? The saints who actually keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. In Revelation 19, what does it say the faith of Jesus is? Spirit of prophecy. So please don't, in my presence, pick on a little old lady with a third grade education. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. And if you choose to ignore it, if you choose to disagree with it, at least have the courage of your convictions to look Jesus in the face and tell him so. Don't make the excuse of, well, she was about her time and she didn't understand and she was not a theologian and she was not an historian and she only had a third grade education and she went around in a buggy and she didn't understand the 21st century. Jesus does, and it's his testimony. At least have the courage to look Jesus in the face and say, I don't agree with your testimony. Jesus has a lot more respect for the cold than he does for the lukewarm. And so how did Jesus explain keeping the law? When the teachers and the scribes tried to trick him on that, what's the greatest commandment? What did he say? There's only two. You shall love the Lord with how much of your heart? How much of your soul? How much of your mind? How much of your body? He's not going to accept 90%. And this is why you've been praying for yourself last night and today. Because either you can sing this song in all honesty, I surrender all, or you can't. And what we're focusing on with this seminar is the second part. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The law being the first five books of the Bible and the prophets being the rest of the Old Testament. I know many people think that Jesus wrote the New Testament and it was written in English, but we'll save that for another time. So we've got to decide for ourselves. There's only two groups, only two camps. The keepers of the law and the breakers of the law. The sinners and the righteous. The holy and the unholy. The wheat and the chaff. The sheep and the goats. Choose you this day what group you're going to be in. Because today Jesus is standing on the threshing floor and the chaff are going that way and the wheat are going this way. Hopefully you'll decide within this seminar whether you're hearers of the word only or doers also. So since we've clearly established that God is love and who He's coming back for, and we now clearly realize it shouldn't be any surprise, we've been clearly warned in very simple language, this is what I expect all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your body, all the time. So we know that God loves us. He sent His Son like Abraham did. So do we love Him? If we do, what is our love response? How do we demonstrate that love? And let me just speak to the wives for a minute. You need to explain this to your husband till you're satisfied that he understands. But when you express your love to your husband, and his response is, yeah, me too, that's not sufficient. He needs to demonstrate his love a little more clearly. A couple flowers now and then wouldn't be out of the question. Remembering your birthday or anniversary would be acceptable. So help your husbands out. Let them understand what is their love response to your marriage. God tries to make it clear to us what a proper love response to His love for us is. John 13. The Gospel of John, the 13th chapter. And we're going to start with verse 34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. How? If we don't accept this as fundamentally true, we will never make any progress. Either Jesus is our example or He is not. Either we can live our lives as He lived His life or we can't. Jesus said, be ye holy. Now I'm going to hold up a pattern. I'm going to hold up an example for you to measure your holiness against. And what did He hold up? Be ye holy as He is holy. And here He holds up another example in this verse, doesn't He? Love one another, not with a Hallmark card, weak sentimentality. When I say love one another, this is what I'm talking about. As I have loved you. Wow. Do you believe that's possible? Is your God able. That you also love one another. By this, how many will know? One of the most misrepresented scriptures in the Bible is, judge not, lest you be judged. What that means is, I won't look at your sins if you don't look at mine. Deal? But we are told, by their fruit we will know. By our love for one another, we will all know. How do you reconcile those? Well, it's very easy. We can't judge somebody's motivation, and we can't judge whether they'll end up in heaven. That's what that's talking about. But there's another secret to this, that those who have no intention of loving God with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul, all their body, don't get. And that's this. Want to know the secret? They always end up telling on themselves. Well, who are you to judge me? I'm not judging you. I'm just repeating your words back to you. And by these words and these actions, you've demonstrated that you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just stating the obvious here. Do you know the difference between witness and hearsay? The reason they have a witness box besides the judge's chair, and the reason they don't allow hearsay in the courtroom, is because I only want to know what you've seen and what you've heard. If somebody else told you something about somebody, that's gossip. That's hearsay. We don't want that in the court. But we do want witnesses. And I'm a witness that this is what you do and this is what you say, and you've demonstrated, you've told on yourself that you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. You've demonstrated and you've told on yourself that you're a branch attached to the bad tree and you're producing only the fruit of the unholy spirit. I'm going to be sharing more about that this afternoon. But everybody on the planet Earth is producing fruit. The only question is, what kind? Are you producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit or the fruit of the unholy spirit? So what's our love response? Instead of just being hearers, also being doers and loving others according to Jesus' example. And by this, all will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. If you keep my commandments, as he said in John 14, 15. Do you remember you turn to John 21 now. Do you remember how frustrated Peter was when Jesus kept asking him the same question three times? At the end, he was kind of raising his voice a little bit, wasn't he? Jesus, why do you keep asking the same question three times? I already told you. Starting with verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, Peter said to Jesus, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. And he said unto him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said unto them, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said unto him, tend to my sheep. And then he said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved. We can substitute a couple different words for grieve there, can't we? He was plenty upset. Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, you know all things. You know I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So we're going to break protocol just for a second, just for this one time, because I can't stand it. Why did Jesus repeat the same thing to Peter three times? Who can help me? Because he denied him three times? What? Okay, anybody else? To make what point? Somebody said to make a point. To make what point? The answer that Peter missed is he didn't say the same thing three times. He gave three separate commands. Peter missed it altogether. He thought Jesus was asking him, "Do you love me?" That wasn't it. Jesus was saying, "Are you just a hearer or are you a doer also? By your fruit, I will know if you love me." You don't have to tell me you love me. But if you love me, you're going to do three different things. Three different things. Are lambs the same as sheep? So as we started off this morning talking in our seminar, baby Christians. If you love me, you're going to feed the baby Christians that are coming in. Are you going to feed them steak? Or are you going to feed them mashed up bananas? Feed them what they need. Lambs have a special diet. If you love me, you'll recognize that, recognize their needs, and feed them accordingly. Then secondly, he said, if you really love me, you will show me by your works, and you will tend to the sheep. Tend is a different word than feed, isn't it? What did he mean, tend? Take care of. This is a health institute. And so any of you that are on staff, and we know who you are, should be able to answer this question. What is the one most important fundamental root cause of most illness? The reason I didn't ask you to say it out loud is because, well, you're just guessing. Fortunately for us today, there's been a tremendous amount of research, especially in the United States and in Britain, over the last 15 years. And the answer is loneliness. Yep. Loneliness leads to depression, leads to suicide, leads to cancer, leads to heart disease. Do you remember what Jesus died of? Was it being on the cross? Was it the sword in his side? And the broken heart was caused by what? Separation from his Father. And the thought of that separation, the thought of that loneliness that had never ever existed before in all of forever, was so incredibly painful, it gave Jesus heart disease, didn't it? Now, I've got a very specific question, and I really want hands for this. I really want hands for this, so be prepared. Which one of you is totally unqualified? Which one of you needs extensive after-service training? to be qualified to sit down next to somebody and say, "Hi, I'm Ron. Tell me about yourself." Because I'll make myself available for a special training class. Anybody unqualified? Are you hearing me this morning? If you truly love Jesus, are you prepared to take time out of your schedule and tend His sheep? What I'm sharing with you this weekend is where the rubber meets the road. And I realize these are straightforward, serious questions. Some might even consider them rude questions. But Jesus is coming quickly. And we no longer have time to procrastinate. He's tired of waiting and He's getting ready to take this thing in His own hands. Finish it up. Is He coming back for you? If you truly love Jesus, you will prepare yourself through study and prepare yourself by dedicating some time to feed His sheep. So I've got another serious question. Do you love your brother and sister sitting in these pews this morning enough to risk his or her anger? To risk them shaking their finger at you? To risk them stomping their feet at you? To risk them walking away? Do you love them that much? Do you love them enough to sit down and go step by step through the sanctuary doctrine, even though you know they don't believe it? Do you love them enough to encourage them to put down the Good News Bible and pick up an authentic translation because you know that they love that Bible? Do you love them enough to tell them this is what the 28 fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church are established for, and you're buying into a rebellion that is rejecting that? Do you love them enough to risk that? Do you really? Do you love Jesus enough to feed His sheep? Peter completely missed the point. Why do you keep asking if I love you? It's not the point, Peter. My question has to do you love me enough to demonstrate it with your actions? First John chapter 4. This gets sober. This gets down to the real stuff. Starting with verse 7. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. Everyone who loves God is converted. Everyone who truly loves God is born again. Everyone who truly loves God is born of God. The only way to truly love God is if the Holy Spirit is in your heart through conversion. He who does not know God, let me say it again. He who does not love, he who does not feed the lambs, he who does not tend the sheep, he who does not feed the sheep, he who does not love does not know God. Wow. Which means if we think we love God, and we're not demonstrating it by our actions, we are serving a false God. We're not serving the Creator. So Jesus made it as clear as He could be in Matthew 25. I was just talking to my new best friend about Matthew 25 during the break. Starting with verse 35. Matthew 25, starting with verse 35. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And what's the next word? See, this isn't talking about the unrighteous. It's not talking about the wicked. It's not talking about the sinners. It's not talking about the unholy. This is a very specific group, isn't it? Then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did they see you sick or in prison and come unto you? And the King, Jesus Christ, will answer and say unto them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these my brethren, are you still reading with me? Are you ready for the other shoe to drop? You did it to me. Let's turn that upside down for a minute and get really serious. Inasmuch as you failed to do it unto one of the least of these your brethren, you failed to do it unto me. Is that serious gospel enough? Verse 41. And then he will also say unto those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you sat at home binge watching your favorite TV program. I was thirsty, and you spent your time on social media and Facebook and What Jam and all the rest. I was a stranger, and you went shopping. I was naked, and you went to the football, basketball, baseball game. Sick and in prison, and you did not stop by because you felt unqualified to sit down and say, tell me about yourself. Are you getting this, brothers and sisters, from the lips of Jesus Christ? And then they also will answer him, saying in verse 44, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not do it unto one of the least of these, you did not do it unto me. Do you really love Jesus with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your body? Do you? Look over your last week. Look over your last week. How did you spend your time? Do you truly love Jesus? God loves you so much that He will even accept this. Lord, forgive me for what I didn't do for you last week. But Lord, make me willing to be willing. Do you understand how huge that is? So here's your very first step back if you find yourself in that condition. Matthew 6:33. First, the very first thing to seek is the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let those that are righteous be righteous still. Let those that are filthy be filthy still. That's square one. That's why we're going to be talking about a Steps to Christ class this afternoon for all who are not yet righteous, for all who are not yet holy, for all who are not yet converted, all that are not yet born again. God doesn't condemn you. He loves you, but He's giving you an opportunity to change and start demonstrating that you love Him with all that you are. So I'm going to give an appeal. Where's our newly elected piano player? Can you play something for us? Pardon? Okay. Here's my appeal this morning. Will you commit right now in front of Jesus, in front of the Holy Spirit, in front of God the Creator, to re-examine your schedule? How do you spend your hours each week? To re-examine your schedule to feed the lambs, tend the sheep, feed the sheep. If you are willing to commit to that this morning, come forward. Come. If you are not yet converted, if you are not yet born again, don't look around. Don't come forward. Jesus is watching. This isn't between you and me. This is between you and Him. This is a very serious commitment. I want you to know that. Do not just run forward. If you are not yet converted, if you are not yet born again, are you ready this morning to say, I'm going to pursue the 10 days that the disciples did in Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2? I'm going to prepare myself for those 10 days to be ready for an early rain experience. If you're ready to let the Holy Spirit give you the early rain experience that He gave the disciples on the day of Pentecost, come forward. Come. We want to make this available. Because I'm going to tell you, Jesus is getting ready to pour out the latter rain, and He will not pour out the latter rain on anybody who does not have an early rain experience. That's because He loves you. And if He poured out the latter rain on somebody that wasn't prepared by the early rain, it would literally kill them. It would be like planting a garden and preparing the soil and getting it perfect and then watering it with a fire hose. It would actually destroy the garden, wouldn't it? So right now today, the Holy Spirit is calling everyone to an early rain experience so they are prepared. Because when the latter rain falls, all those that are not prepared will not even recognize it. Pastor, will you come up here in front? I think that they can hear you without a microphone. Would you please pray for your congregation? Brothers and sisters, I want you to think about this one more time before you remain standing. This is as solemn a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ as you can make. And if you're not that serious, please return to your pews. Because by this commitment, all will know. But most important, all heaven will know. Pastor, will you pray?
Father in heaven, you see those who have come forward right here to make a commitment. Father, you know each one of our hearts. You know the inability for us to make a commitment without you being in our heart. Otherwise, we would be just like the Israelites in the desert. And we don't want that experience. We want to be your church who is ready to go into the kingdom with you.
Amen.
And so, Father, we pray that you would send your Spirit. And that the commitment we make is a commitment like this. Father, I can't do it without you.
Yes.
And so I'm praying even for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the members. I'm a member of this church also, Father. And so I'm praying for everybody who is standing here, and I'm praying for those who are sitting there, that you will come into our hearts, and that any commitment we make, you will help us to fulfill that.
Amen.
Father, somebody here, somebody in this group wants to leave the Steps to Christ plan.
Amen.
So touch that heart, touch that person to do that. Father, I am thankful. I am extremely, personally thankful for Jesus and His gift of salvation for me.
Yes.
I'm undeserving of it, but I will grab hold of it and take it. And by taking that, I am a Christian, and I want to be Christ-like.
Yes.
Help me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Father, bless this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's join hands together. Let's be unified in Christ. And sing with me. Where's our song leader? Into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now let me tell you, it doesn't get more serious than this. Right now, today, we are all in Bel Peor. If you look carefully, go outside the church, and if you look carefully in that direction, you can actually see the promised land from here. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. And right now, Balak and Balaam are in a rebellion I never thought I'd see in the world. See in the Christian community. See in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The daughters of Balaam are flooding into our community. Every single wind of doctrine is blowing. The only way that we can remain standing on the rock is just as your pastor prayed. So you need to really understand deep down in your heart today, is your God able? Have you discovered something that's too hard for your God? Or is He able to keep your feet planted on the rock so you'll be able to stand like the needle to the pole? That's what the world desperately needs today. This is what you've committed to. This is a whole new perception on life. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Keep your eyes focused on the promised land. We can see it from here. It's that close. I just thank God for all of you. If just one had come forward, it would have been worth the effort to fly halfway across the country and spend time with you. But look, Pastor, are you looking around at your congregation? Is your heart as full? I told you this morning, I promised you, the Holy Spirit was here.